WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
And we're back to the Steam Check Coach Friday night on 90.7 Capstone. My name is Brady Grogan. I'm joined here with my two co-hosts, Jalen Brooks and Connor Rolls. How are you boys doing tonight?
I'm good.
I'm doing quite swell as always.
We had quite the Thursday night football matchup last night with the Browns taking on the Steelers. And you two boys, what were your big takeaways from the game?
Mitch needs to be benched right now. Two touchdowns in three games. It's pretty miserable.
It kind of baffles me. I guess they feel like Pickett's not ready because you take a quarterback in the first round, you kind of want to see him out there soon. So I'm hoping they do get him in there soon. But yeah, I mean, the Steelers want to go. Steelers look like they need to go in a new direction, especially the quarterback.
I think something the Steelers are in this position where they don't really have to win this year. And sometimes I think you've seen recent history like benching the quarterback for the first year and letting them learn the system before they go in is sometimes good for them, because we've seen a lot of rookie quarterbacks get rushed in situations and then everyone overreacts to how bad they are when they're still learning the system. So I honestly kind of like that they're kind of sticking with Mitch and letting Pickett ride the bench and kind of understand the system before they throw him in. They're kind of just like taking this year to reset before they start with Pickett next year.
But at what time do you think he's not like what's best for your team? Because there's been times where he's looked pretty miserable, and with Kenny Pickett just sitting on the bench, you kind of just want to throw him in there.
It's tempting. Like, I understand it's really tempting. I just think that in terms, if Pickett is who you think is your long-term quarterback, which I believe they do think because they took him in your first round, if you take a first-round quarterback, then you have intention of starting him at some point. I just really think that learning the system is really important for these young quarterbacks before they get kind of, you don't want them to get onto the field and then just not know what they're doing and get overwhelmed. I think that's really bad for the confidence.
So do you think they should take the Trey Lance approach and have him sit the whole year?
I do. I mean, as long as you can sit him for, as long as you're physically able. Like, Mitch Trubisky, I think, would have to start throwing a lot more picks in order to put him on. Because Mitch Trubisky, he's not playing great, but he's not actively hurting the team as much as, like, throwing the interception, turning the ball over, you know? Because turning the ball over is the big thing that will hurt the team. He's not doing that quite at the level where I would want to bench him yet.
Yeah, I get that. I mean, I just kind of hope my quarterback would want to put up points instead of punt the entire game. But, I mean, I can agree with that.
And you look at his stat line, he went 20 for 32 for 207 yards. I mean, that's okay, but, I mean, I'm just, if I was a Steelers fan, I only see what this young kid looks like. But I can clearly see where they're coming from. Because you don't want Kenny Pickett to come out there and just like, and then have him get all this media attention. Like, oh, you wasted the first round pick, and then everything else just starts collapsing. So I see where you're coming from, but I don't know. Mitch Trubisky was dropped by the Bears. I'm not saying they gave him a fair chance because it's the Bears, and everybody knows that their front office has been a mess for a while. But I don't know. I personally just hope the CPU pick it up this season.
But one thing I can say for the Steelers, Najee Harris is a beast. Yes, their O line isn't the greatest, so 15 carries and 56 yards is not the best stat. But he had that rushing touchdown where he just destroyed the defender. And then you also look at his receiving game. He still had 3 catches for 5 yards, which is not his best game, but he can still catch the ball out of the backfield. But there was this one pass pro where he just lifted this man, and that was insane.
The highlight was definitely there, but I still think Najee Harris is a little bit overrated. Like, you saw him fantasy football. I hate to bring up fantasy football with Donald Plains, but he was going as a consensus like first-round running back in a lot of these leagues. I feel like he really hasn't lived up to that hype at this point. And I feel like part of it is the O-line, because the offense of the team is obviously very stagnant. It's not going anywhere a lot of time. But I just feel like the running ability was a little overhyped coming into the season.
Najee Harris, we all know that he's got that talent, but like you said, with that O-line, it's not looking too well right now. But I think, like, as the season progresses, like I said, I think they'll slowly start getting it together. But they also drafted, I think he's a rookie, Jalen Warren.
Oh, yeah, he had a big game.
He was a really nice Apollo. Like, he was a really nice 1-2 punch for a little bit. I think he was out of Oklahoma State. But he was a nice little helping whenever Najee went out.
And he looked like the RB1 when Najee went out the week before, I'm pretty sure. He looked like a legit RB1. And I don't know if that's good for Harris or bad for Harris. When you're looking at like the long term, the team, it's not always great. I guess it's great for the team to have that kind of depth. But for Najee, with having that behind them, and hopefully that'll motivate them.
As like we're talking about, you know, nice running back and a great backup running back, the Browns, Nick Chubb looked like a beast last night. There was no stopping him.
I think it's hard to say that a team with a better RB like duo than the Browns. Like, mm-hmm. I really don't think there's much debate about the team, just because, I mean, this dynamic back is insane.
Oh, yeah.
Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. And I think I heard recently that Kareem Hunt didn't ask for a trade, but I think he's like a receiver guy. He doesn't want that anymore.
Really?
So it looks like this running back, as far as, at least for the season, looks like it's going to be intact for a while. But yeah, you're right. Nick Chubb went off 113 yards and a touchdown. Basically 5 yards a carry.
That's really impressive.
Hitting the ball every time.
Yeah, and since, I mean, the Browns kind of have the same problem with the Steelers. Jacoby Brissett, I get Deshaun Watson's not going to be able to play for a while, but he's looked impressive for a backup quarterback, but you do not want Jacoby Brissett as your starting quarterback for a while.
That's the question I was going to ask you. So, Jacoby Brissett is obviously, you know, he can ball. We saw a little bit of the Patriots. And we've seen a little bit in other places like the Colts. And now he's over to the Browns, and last night he just looked like the energy coming like away from him, coming off of him. It definitely rubbed off on his teammates, I would say. But my question is, if the Browns are like, if Jacoby leads them into the playoffs and they're doing really well, are you going to throw in? I mean, you're going to have to, I'm assuming, because you paid this man like $232 million guaranteed. But he hasn't played 2 years of NFL play. So are you like, I think they come back on bye week, and then I think the plan is to start. Is that what you guys would do? Just throw Watson in there?
I would throw Watson in there just for the regular season because, yes, he hasn't played in 2 years, but you want to get him ready in his full form for playoffs. But also, you saw what he looked like in the preseason. That was pretty miserable. I remember there was one throw where he just missed completely. And if you can get him out of that rust and you can get him back, then yeah, that's definitely a decision I'll make in talking about that.
I'm just thinking like the locker room, and like imagine the Browns going into their bye week are in the playoff picture for their team and they're looking good. And then they come back from the bye week and then Deshaun goes in, so then they lose two games. And it's like the offense looks kind of like, imagine being in that locker room and you have this guy Jacoby who was just leading you and you're in the playoff picture and your team's going looking all right. And this new guy who comes in, obviously has had a lot of controversy. I can't imagine being in the Cleveland locker room when that comes back in. But I just can imagine there'd be like a lot of tension in that locker room if the front office tried to just immediately plug Deshaun Watson back in and it doesn't work. I feel like if it does not work, then they will completely lose the locker room with that team. And then I think it kind of throws away the season.
Yeah, it really could. But, I mean, you look at one of his top targets last night, Amari Cooper. Just think about what they gave up for him. They gave up a fifth-round pick to the Dallas Cowboys for Amari Cooper.
It makes the Cowboys look silly. It really does. They're now struggling in the wide receiver department, and they gave up Amari Cooper for that.
I mean, you look at their division counterpart, the Eagles. They got rid of Jalen Reagor for a fourth and a seventh-round pick. The Cowboys they need to fix some things because it's not looking too bright for them. David Njoku also looked good last night.
Oh, yeah, he did. Yeah. It was good to see him. David Njoku's always fun. When he first got into the league, he came on very slow, in my opinion. And now it seems like, well, at least when Baker was there, he was like, at least for a while, one of his favorite targets. And now it's kind of cool to see, like, even though Jacoby's new era, like, which is still a go-to guy for him, so that's pretty cool. Another thing I wanted to ask you guys about, so how do you feel about that division? The Steelers division, Steelers, Ravens.
It is one of the worst divisions in football. I mean, the Bengals are 0-2. The Steelers are now 1-2, and the Browns are 2-1, if I'm correct. Mm-hmm. And then the Ravens are 1-1. But after that miserable, miserable lead they gave up for the Dolphins, it's hard to keep them up there like they were the last couple of years in one of the top divisions in the NFL.
I'm going to say I'm not totally out on the division yet. I still think it's a pretty good division. I think that the Ravens are still a great team. I think the matchup with the Dolphins was a rough matchup for them, obviously, because when you look at the stats, they really gave up all their all the damage was done with those two receivers, Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. So I feel like it's just where they struggle in the corner department, it was bound to not go well for them. And I think Lamar Jackson quarterback, they can obviously lead to an all right team. I think the Bengals, I it might be just living in the good old days when the Bengals were in the Super Bowl, but I still think that they can. I still think that there's something there they can piece together. I don't think Joe Burrow is playing right now how he's going to play all year. He deleted Twitter and Instagram from his phone, so I think he'll be able to focus up for the rest of the season. So I think that the Bengals should pick it up. And then the Browns, once you put Deshaun Watson back on that team, theoretically speaking, it should be a better team. So I'm not totally out on the division.
No, and one thing that's funny about the Bengals, it's funny how he spent this offseason trying to fix his O-line, and not what's worse.
Oh, yeah.
It's incredible. And because I think they got the right tackle or the left tackle.
Right tackle, A.O. Collins.
Yes, that's one. Yeah, so, and it's funny, his introductory press conference, he said he went up to Joe Burrow, and he was like, "We're not going to get any more for security guards here." This is the most Joe Burrow's ever been said.
That offense just has too much talent. Like, beyond the offensive line, I feel like to be this poor, it's only put up, 17 points against the Cowboys. I find it so hard to believe that they won't find a way to turn it around.
I mean, when you have a guy like Joe Burrow, I don't see that happening, where they're not going to just make a run or some type of push. Yeah, I mean, I was actually coming into the season with high on the Bengals now.
As was I.
And I'm kind of disappointed, but hopefully they'll bounce back. And that's just a rough start.
Yeah. So how do you feel about the Steelers making the playoffs? Do you think there's a chance or no?
Not in the AFC. There's too many good teams. I remember last week we were going over the playoff picture for the Raiders and the Broncos game, and we're struggling to find ways to get them into the playoffs. But then now we're trying to get the Steelers in there, and the Steelers are much obviously worse than both those teams. So there's just no way in the AFC.
So do you have the Ravens winning the division?
For sure. I think that was I honestly think it was a little bit of a fluking for the Ravens against the Dolphins. Like, I understand that the Dolphins most definitely outplayed them in that second half, and to give up a lead like that, there obviously has to be some problems with the team. But just Lamar Jackson, I think, is that good of a team. And obviously, they lost the game, but Lamar Jackson did also put up an insane stat like Tua. So I feel like that team still has it in them to win.
And you know what's funny? I was watching that game, and Lamar Jackson just healthy. He doesn't look like he's in shape right now.
Oh, at all. I was going to say the same thing. He looks, I don't want to say fat, he's quick enough fat. He's got a little chunk to him, and he did look a little slower, but slow for Lamar Jackson, still fast for everyone else.
Still rushed for 119 yards.
That's what's so crazy. It's like you can tell he's a little bit slower, but he's still blown by it.
Oh, my goodness. And his arm looks insane. I mean, you look at some of the stuff he was putting up. Let me see. He had 318 yards passing with 3 touchdowns. That's something you would never see from Lamar Jackson in his past years. So he's looking like he might want to put up some MVP numbers again.
Yeah, he's definitely staying in the pocket too. I think it might be because, like, as we alluded to last week, it might be because of that, he doesn't have that contract extension. But like you said, he's definitely staying in the pocket. And, we're seeing a kind of new version of Lamar definitely staying in the pocket and going through the air.
And I think Bateman this year is looking a lot better than Hollywood Brown when he was there. I mean, we've all seen the compilation videos of him dropping the pass in the end and all that stuff. But I think Bateman is a much better wide receiver situation for them. And just, like, I know Mark Andrews is technically the tight end, but he basically plays like a receiver a lot of times. Right. They use him in that sense. So that kind of duo for him in that sense is going to be very beneficial for him.
And also, one player I'm also high on that team is Devin Duvernay.
Oh, yeah.
If you guys want, we can talk about this later, but for fantasy, he's been doing wonders for me. So I think he's also just been a great addition to that Ravens team, not only in the offense, but also in the special teams. I think it was the very first play to start that Ravens and Dolphins game. He just took it to the house. So
I remember I was sitting down to watch the game, and it's like I clicked on right when the kickoff happened, and then just right away the Ravens go down and score. And I remember thinking to myself, yep, this game's over. The Dolphins are going to lose this one. There's no way they win this game.
Yeah, I remember when he first got drafted, that's actually a player I wanted for the Eagles. He looked amazing coming out of college, and he just kept sliding. Eventually, the Ravens took him, and he's looked like a pretty bright spot for that team right now in that wide receiver room, who has been pretty lackluster these past couple years.
All right, we're going to take a break right now. When we get back, we'll start the preview game for the NFL this weekend. 90.7 the Caps over there.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
And we are back. This is actually 9.7 in the cap zone. And I think we'll start off this segment. We'll start talking about which Bama QB had the better weekend. We saw Tua Tagovailoa and Jalen Hurts kind of fall out this weekend. Both Bama alumni at this point. And what were you boys thinking about their performances?
So, honestly, Tua had a great game. I mean, 469 yards, 6 touchdowns, but also 2 interceptions. And Jalen Hurts also balled out with 333 yards and a throwing touchdown, including a deep bomb to Quez Watkins. I mean, Mac Jones also had a okay week with 252 yards, touchdown, and a pick.
I think it's fair. Mac Jones is not deserved to be in that conversation at all. But he's sticking to these two.
I honestly think Jalen Hurts had the better week, only because of his rushing ability. He was able to lead this offense to an amazing game. I mean, he picked apart the Vikings defense. He shut down Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, either with his legs or his throwing talent, which has just incredibly, like, he's become so great at throwing the ball and picking apart the zone defenses that, I mean, I think he did the best this week.
No, I would have to agree with that. I mean, when you watch this game, granted it's only been 2 weeks now, but this past week, Jalen Hurts, I feel like he answered a lot of questions coming into this game. A lot of people wanted to see how has he improved his passing game. I think last week I alluded to him working with Tom Brady's throwing coach, and it definitely kind of showed this game. But as I was saying, he stayed in the pocket a lot longer.
He looked comfortable.
Yeah, he looked very comfortable. He stayed in the pocket a lot longer, and then as I don't know if you guys know this, but Lease looks faster, and he's getting the ball out more quick. He's making decisions quicker. I was just really impressed by this game. Like, I honestly didn't know what to expect because I know last season that was kind of a challenging thing for him, just throwing over the middle and throwing it into tight windows. But this past game, I was really impressed by him. I'm excited to see what he does following up from this because hopefully he can still live up to that. But if I'm gonna go with him or Tua this weekend, I would say Tua is the one that surprised me the most. But I think Hurts had a better game.
I could agree with that.
I really think I have to go with Tua on this one. It's just because to lead your team down 21 in the fourth quarter to a comeback win is just so much of guys on the quarterback to like come back and each quarterback keeping the team together. I think he showed a lot of maturity that he had in the last 2 years by throwing those 2 picks, but then holding the team together and then coming back 21 and just the absolute video game numbers he put up of 469 yards with 6 touchdowns is an absurd stat line. And on the road also, I just think it was an insane game by Tua. And I think a lot of people have been undercutting how good of a game it was for him. But you don't put up 6 touchdowns and 460 yards and not have a spectacular game.
No, that's true. I just want to bring up, most of those passes, they go to Tyreek and Jalen Watson. It just shows how much you can put pieces around players. Just like with A.J. Brown and Jalen Hurts, if you put weapons around these guys and build to their strengths, you can just see it. It's most likely going to succeed. So,
yeah.
Although I'm not that impressed, I'm not as impressed with Tua as I was with Hurts, just solely because I need to see more, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Because he put up impressive numbers, and like I said, 6 touchdowns, but he still had 2 picks. I want to see him still be able to not just throw the short little passes, the little dump offs to Waddle and Tyreek. I want to see him. I just want to see some. I need another week.
And to go off that, this other week is going to be going against the best defense in the Buffalo Bills. So I think Tua is definitely going to have his challenge ahead of him. And it is a home game against the Bills there in Miami. But the Bills have been on absolute tear so far this season. And how do you guys think Tua matches up with that team? Or is the Dolphins there?
I feel like the Dolphins have a tough challenge ahead of them. I mean, Von Miller and that pass rush is dangerous. And the Dolphins haven't been able to run the ball well. So it's going to force Tua to throw the ball. And you got, I think Tre'Davious White's playing this game. And that secondary, I mean, man, they have shut down the opposing offenses. So it honestly worries me. And if you get Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs, like, any room, any, like, if their defense can slow down the Dolphins, the Bills will just put up points, and Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs will make that defense work.
I'm kind of expecting that. The reason I say that is because the Bills just look like a team. They look like on a whole different level. It's only been 2 minutes, And that's how impressive it was of him coming. And like I said, Tua had a great week last week. But I still want to see more, and especially going against a team like the Bills. This is the game where Tua can change my mind. Depending on how he feels in this game. It doesn't even matter if he loses, but if he goes out and competes against his Bills team, I think a lot of people have to start giving thoughts to him.
And I think in this game, we're going to see the duo of Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, because obviously the Ravens secondary is very injured. They weren't looking their best, but now they're going against an actual defense. But I think I'm interested to see the production of those two together in a game against a better defense where Tua isn't going to be able to just, like, one of them's not going to just be open at the same time.
Right.
He's going to have to make decisions faster because the player's going to guard tighter. Mm-hmm. And you're going to have to go through multiple reads, obviously, to find, like, the open player instead of there just being multiple open players in the field like there was against the Ravens.
What was it, 3 seconds of separation?
I think it was 3 yards of separation on average for Waddle and Tyreek Hill's catches, which is an insane stat, obviously. So I am interested to see how Tua performs against the Bills defense.
Another thing, just getting into for the Bills, I mean, I thought it seemed like last season Stephon Diggs kind of like Stephon Diggs was coming out strong this year.
Oh, yeah.
And I felt like after last year, after that loss in the Chiefs, him and Josh Allen have that mindset that they're going to
be. I love their handshake they do before every game.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's just the chemistry that those two have formed. And the commitment they have to each other in order to find a way to figure this out, because they both have the same goal, which is obviously really sweet.
And I was watching their mic'd up moments, and this is just something small, but I was watching their mic'd up moments, and it seems like after every touchdown, they just go up to each other, give each other a hug, and decide.
Yeah, it's really big. If you got a wide receiver and quarterback who just love playing with each other, that just makes a game so much easier. They might be, but I don't want to crown that just yet.
Just to point out, like, the Bills' dominance, they've been outscoring their opponents 72-17 in their first two games. I mean, that is, like, absolute dominance. It's like against the Rams Titans, so not the A-list teams that we have here, but they have been absolute dominating teams. And I, for one, am very excited to see the Bills' offense. What do you guys pick for the game?
So, no surprise, I got the Bills. I think the Bills are going to run away with this one at the end. Just Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs are too much, and Von Miller is just too much for that O-line.
Yeah, like you said, Von Miller is the Super Bowl whisperer, so I'm going to go with the Bills. I mean, until Tua can show me a little bit more, I'm going to keep going with the Bills.
I think I'm going to stick with the Dolphins. I think the Dolphins can pull this one out. I really think they do. I think this is one of those games where the Bills don't quite realize how good the Dolphins are.
Okay.
And the Dolphins, I think, are really feeling themselves off that Ravens win. And I think I think having a young head coach who understands what it takes to win. And I think he's not going to let his players get ahead of themselves. He literally went into the Ravens game saying he's excited for the adversity because he wants to see how his team reacts. Saw how his team reacts. I think he's going to carry on that lesson that they've learned from this into the Bills game. I really think that the Dolphins are going to find a way to win at home against the Bills.
Okay.
I respect that.
So for the next game, Eagles versus Washington, since we're sticking with Alabama quarterbacks, I think this will be a good game, but it's a very big storyline with Carson Wentz's first game back for the Philadelphia Eagles. Do you think there's any extra motivation that he will try to bring in?
I think this is where it gets interesting. He's like, yes, he's definitely going to have some extra motivation. Now, is that a good thing or a bad thing? That's really the question.
Sometimes when Carson Wentz gets juiced up, it doesn't always go well. He makes some bad decisions.
And so, I still think it's going to be an interesting game. I wouldn't be surprised if the Eagles lost this game, because I feel like after that win, we might be feeling ourselves a little bit too much. But I'm hoping, in my opinion, I think they're going to win the NFC East. So I'm hoping that they come out and it's hard to trust Carson Wentz. Even with that game last week against the Lions, he looked terrible that first half.
Awful.
It looked terrible. That deep ball to, I forget which receiver it was.
Oh my goodness, when he threw it into the middle of the field.
Oh, to know it. Absolutely not. So when you see something like that, it's hard to root for Carson against his former team. But I do think they're going to make it interesting. What we saw last week in the Eagles defense was really impressive. And he still, are still figuring it out. Because as we saw in week one, they didn't blitz at all. With their defensive coordinator, Jonathan Gannon, who doesn't really like the blitz, but when he played Kirk Cousins, they'd even blitz, like, really, mostly for the secondary. It's mostly two safeties and corners. And so we have offseason additions like Hassan Reddick, and I'm blanking on that linebacker's name, because you're white,
yes.
And of course, the draft picks like N'Kobe Dean, and then plus you have Josh Sweat, Brandon Graham, Fletcher Cox still. It really makes the question, when are they going to figure it out? Well, hopefully they figure it out and start blitzing with their defensive line. So
yeah,
it's interesting to see, but I think it's going to be a good matchup either way.
I mean, yeah, I think I'm definitely going to take the Eagles. I think they cover the 6.5 point spread. I think they win by a touchdown. At least I don't trust Carson Wentz in any game, let alone a game where the stakes might be a tiny bit higher than a regular season game. I really think that he's going to fumble it literally and figuratively now that I say that. I think he'll fumble the ball at least once, and I think he's going to throw the game away somehow.
Yeah, I definitely have the Eagles. I feel like most motivation for anybody is a really great thing. When you give it to Carson Wentz, he just loves to throw that away. He's most likely going to try to extend plays to where he gets sacked many times, or he just makes dumb throws where he thinks he can do it and it will get picked off. But like Jalen was saying, with Hassan Reddick and all these additions, we are not using them as well as I think we should. I mean, Jordan Davis is barely out there. Yes, he might not be in shape, but he can definitely stop the run. You got Hassan Reddick not even really rushing the quarterback like that. And they have him guarding running backs and tight ends at times or playing zone. So I feel like once the Eagles put it together, I think they'll make the Super Bowl.
Is that who you're going with?
That's my hot take. I am taking Super Bowl 56, 57? Something like that. Eagles versus Bills. That's my Super Bowl.
Should we go through some Super Bowl picks right now while we're at it?
Might as well.
So wait, say that one more time.
Eagles versus Bills.
Eagles versus Bills. I like it.
Might be biased, but I think I might be right.
I don't think it's biased because, I mean, if you look at the NFC, there's not a lot of good teams in the NFC. Like, I'm looking through the list, and there's a team that I could realistically see making the Super Bowl. I see Eagles, Packers, Buccaneers, and that's about all I got. That's all I got for the list. And then it sounds like three teams alone, so it's one of those teams. I don't think it's biased at all. I think the Eagles have shown so far how they perform. I think they definitely perform like the best team in the NFC.
Who do you have for the Eagles?
I gotta go with the Chiefs. I mean, I know I'm gonna sound like I'm sucking up Patrick Mahomes and all, but I really think that there's no quarterback as good as him. I really like what I've seen from their team so far this season. And I think come December and January, I think he's gonna ball out.
Yeah, it's hard to go against Patrick Mahomes, and like that's kind of the way I want to go for the AFC as well, the Chiefs. But because of Patrick Mahomes, and now that they have so like they don't have as many weapons, so they're spreading out the ball more. It's hard to predict. But the only question I have is that defense.
Mm-hmm.
That's my only question.
They've never had a good. I'm gonna keep saying it. Patrick Mahomes has never had a good defense.
But
so I'm not gonna.
The defense didn't have playmakers. They don't have playmakers anymore.
And also on offense, you have Patrick Mahomes. Make that one play. I think we saw the Bills.
Mm-hmm.
So it's gonna be interesting to see, especially if they play the Bills in the postseason.
Oh, that'll be a great rematch.
Yeah. So for right now, I can't say I'm gonna go with the Bills. I'm just gonna go with the Bills because they just look good right now, and I'm gonna go with the Bills. For my NFC, that's where it gets interesting.
The NFC is the interesting one because it's so much worse. I feel like that it's hard to figure out what team you want to come out of the NFC.
And like, I want to say the Eagles, but I don't know. I don't know. It's like I don't want to jinx them either. So it's like, I want to put Tom Brady in that conversation, but this is definitely looking like his last year. Speculating.
There's been some off-field drama going around with him. We don't want to speculate anything, but his relationship with Giselle is obviously taking the forefront in some news media.
Yeah.
So you wonder how much of his mind has been on the field. The frustration we saw against the Saints,
mm-hmm.
He's obviously got a lot going on in his head right now.
Yeah, so, but then again, you can't. There's one thing I've learned in my life is never count out Tom Brady and never count out LeBron. So
those are the two constants.
Yeah, exactly. So, right now, just because I'm feeling it, I think I'm gonna say Eagles, but I don't know. I'm gonna think about this, and I'll come back here next week for sure.
I think my NFC team that I'm gonna rock with is the Packers.
Okay. Really?
I understand. It hasn't looked great all the time, but I think that the Tom Brady Buccaneers this season, I think it's gonna get a little messy later on the season. I think the Eagles are still. I think it's a year away. I don't think you see a lot of times those teams come on and then the year of they go and win the Super Bowl. So I'm going to say I think they're still a year away. And then I think that Aaron Rodgers finds a way to lead his team to the Super Bowl this year.
You said you've never seen a team come out of nowhere.
I feel like a lot of the times, though, when those teams kind of come out of nowhere in the playoffs, they don't always win the Super Bowl.
You know who came out of nowhere?
Who came out of nowhere?
2017 Philadelphia Eagles. They were 7-9 with a, what is it? 12th or 13th pick overall,
mm-hmm.
and they come out and win the Super Bowl. So I'm just saying, it's been done before.
No, I wasn't saying it's never been done. I don't know where it's getting used like that. I just feel like when they weren't a great team last year, I would put my confidence into Aaron Rodgers instead. That's where I'm going to put my money. So I think we're going to take a break here right now. When we get back, we should be able to hopefully finish off these NFL predictions, and then ESPN released their top 100 players, and we'll have some reactions to that. This is 90.7 The Capsule.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
And we're back with the soon section. This is 90.7 The Capsule here. We're going to finish up our NFL weekly preview with our lock and upsets of the week.
So looking at this week, there's not a lot of like games that are great. There are a lot of great games. And I think one of the locks I'm going to have to choose is, like I said before, Eagles over Washington. I just think it's one of those games where Carson Wentz are trying to do too much and he'll just throw the game away, either in the beginning or at the end, like he does. But my upset, it's Lions over Vikings. I mean, you look at how the Vikings played on Monday Night Football. Granted, it was Monday Night Football, and you know Kirk Cousins likes to stink the bed on primetime games. But the Lions, their past two games, they look very competitive. And I think Jared Goff, I mean, I don't want to say he's performing pretty well, but he's performing pretty well. And
he's looking better than Kirk Cousins has so far this year.
Yeah, definitely. I do think Justin Jefferson's going to get his, though, just after last game.
You know, he's very upset.
Yeah.
I think, though, if there's one thing I've learned from Kirk Cousins, that no matter what, primetime game is going to play bad. Mm-hmm. And you can't read into it, like, too much. I understand he looked awful, but that's kind of what primetime Kirk does at this point. So I don't expect him to play that bad against the Lions this weekend.
And you look at Vikings' run defense, they have not been very good against the run. And DeAndre Swift has been balling this year. I have him on my fantasy team. He's been putting up points. So I do like the Lions in this one over the Vikings.
And one thing I want to touch on that is the Vikings versus the Lions. I kind of want to pick the Vikings, but at the same time, I know where you're coming from, because if you watch the Commanders versus Lions game, oh my God, that Lions rush. I don't know if they can handle that. We'll see what happens. But
the rookie Aiden Hutchinson.
Yes.
He looked really good after that.
What is this, 3 sacks last week?
Three sacks, yeah. Slowly won, but he really picked up
in
two.
So it's going to be interesting to see how that game goes. But, I mean, it's hard for me to go against Justin Jefferson having two bad weeks. Mm-hmm. And he is the difference maker for them, especially. Like, if he's open, you know, Kirk is watching it.
Kirk has eyes on it. The first, 5 seconds of every play, Kirk is just watching Justin Jefferson to see what move he's going to do to get open.
So, that's why I'm going to go with Vikings for this one. I think the Vikings are going to get the win over the Lions. But, like I said, I've been very impressed with the Lions this year. And they're not, if you're not paying attention to the Lions, don't be surprised if they beat your team. Because
they might make the playoffs. They might win the division. That's also another hot take. I think they'll take the division.
I think that division is going to be a lot more competitive than the division.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. But
I think it's competitive, but I still think Aaron Rodgers does that.
Oh, yeah. It's hard for me to count out Aaron Rodgers. He's a bad man, but, that's hard for me.
Yeah. So, Jim, what you got for lock and upset this week?
So, I'm actually going to start with my upset. he actually kind of talked me into it last week when we were talking about the NFC East. I was kind of making a bet, making a case for the Commanders, maybe being the second best team. But
as was I, but I think each team have
I. I think after what we saw, just that first half, I can't even mind. That was just so bad.
Some of the worst football you'll ever watch.
That offense was, don't even want to talk about it. But so I'm going to go with the Giants, because you really talked me into it. You're 2-0 right now. We have they beat the Titans, and they just came coming off against the win. I'm blanking on the team's name right now.
Panthers.
Yeah, there you go. So that team just looks together right now. Like, they look like they're like kind of having fun again. Like, you know, like, they look like they're having fun. They're competing. I saw a clip of their Brian Daboll, their head coach, just Daniel Jones threw a pick in the end zone, and Brian Daboll just went over to him afterwards and just lit him up. I don't remember if that was week one or week two, but you can just tell that this is it looks like this is a new culture in the Giants. And I haven't been a Giants.
I like that pick. I like the pick a lot.
I like the pick, but did you hear about Kenny Galladay?
Yes, that's another big thing. Kenny Galladay, that's the thing. They haven't been using Kenny Galladay as it is.
He looked terrible.
Right. And at this point, I don't think they really care.
Yeah. Did you see what Dable said? He's like, he should be upset. I mean, his effort on the field has been lackluster, to say the best.
That's what you want to hear from your coach.
I think we all saw this clearly. There's the viral clips of him doing like routes and stuff and trying to scamper, just like not caring. I mean, the guy obviously secured his bag. He got his big contract.
Good for him.
And he's kind of shown at this point.
Yeah. So I wouldn't be too upset. I understand where he's coming from. But also, that was the big thing when that offseason was happening when he signed Kenny Galladay. A lot of that concern was just like the effort and then can he stay healthy? And
he stayed healthy pretty well.
Right,
it's just because he's not playing very hard. It's easy to stay healthy at that point. You're not blocking anyone.
So hopefully, we'll see what happens with that situation. Because remember, Kadarius Toney kind of did the same thing last year. He was kind of talking to the media about like why use a horse. I can't remember the quote exactly, but he's like, "Why have a Lambo if you never drive it?" Like,
I think I do remember that.
So, hopefully, looks like Kadarius Toney may have taken Galladay's spot. I don't know, but. Yeah, I think we'll figure it out. But I'm gonna go with Giants.
I had that pick for sure. What's your lock?
My lock. Okay, so I have two, but I'm just gonna go with one that's kind of gonna be a hot take a little bit. I really like the Bears. I don't like when I say I like the Bears. I mean like I like Justin Fields.
You like them enough to beat the Texans.
Yeah. And so I'm gonna go with the Bears over the Texans. I just feel like Justin Fields, a lot of people have the doubts about Justin Fields, but I think as this season progresses, he's going to answer a lot of people's questions about him. So, yeah, I'm just going to go with the Bears. I think David Montgomery is going to have a pretty big game, too. So, he kind of had a good game last week. It seemed for a little bit he was the only like vocal point of their offense. So, I just give me the Bears.
Wow. That's surprising, honestly.
I mean, I like Justin Fields.
I'll start with my lock first. For some reason, the Chiefs Colts game, the line is at Chiefs -5.5. I have no idea why after the Colts put up 0 points in week two. But I think the Chiefs got that game in the absolute bag. I think they win by a touchdown. Like, I feel like it's that easy. They're easily gonna win this game by a touchdown. The Colts looked so bad that I can't think they'll be a bounce back game.
Yeah, they looked miserable.
I don't know what happened. Do you think that game last year when they didn't make the playoffs just like killed the locker room or something?
Personally, I think it's the rotating quarterback that kills the locker room.
Yeah,
I think
so
the quarterback
too.
Is supposed to be the leader of the team. And when it's been this year's Matt Ryan, Carson Wentz, then it was Philip Rivers, Jacoby Brissett was in there. It's been 5 or 6 years since Andrew Luck was the quarterback of the room. It's just switching it up so much of the culture is upon the quarterback leading the team. And when you do that so often, it's just impossible.
If they don't make the playoffs, is Frank Reich gone?
I think so. Yeah.
I think he is gone. Yeah, I don't think it's necessarily his fault for everything that's happened. Right. I think it's just kind of been like a really bad situation and some bad quarterback luck in a way. But I think he will get fired.
Yeah.
I think it's eventually going to come down to that, which I hate to see, but I hate to see another person lose the job. But
it's pretty typical in sports where a team kind of changes direction in a way. So I think the Colts will hopefully change direction from trying to make these moves for quarterback and stuff to contend instead of trying to look for the draft. And then when that normally happens, teams normally do move and switch coaches.
Mm-hmm.
And then the upset of the week, I'm putting the Cardinals above the Rams at home.
Really?
To win that game.
Okay. Wow. I can see it. They did not look good against the Falcons at all last week.
The Rams, they got killed by the Bills, and then close games with the Falcons, and I really don't think the Falcons are very good at all.
Yep.
So I think that, to me, in my mind, that's basically 0-2. It's not, you don't choose who you play, of course, but I think if the Rams play how they put against the Falcons, against an average team, they lose that game by double digits.
And Kyler Murray, they're
good. I think that four-point comeback against the Raiders was the perfect thing that Cardinals team made after going up, starting the season 0-1, and I think they'll pair that out at a home game against the Rams.
Yeah, I think that's a good pick. But did you, man, if Byron Murphy dropped the ball before the goal line, I know y'all saw that. So close. That would have been very bad for that locker room. That would have been, oh my goodness, that locker room might have fell apart. They might have screwed their whole season over just by that one play.
But one thing I'll do need to talk about is that Miller Howard was that scream.
My goodness.
That looked like a Madden game.
He does these things all the time, I feel like, is where he just kind of finds a way to extend plays and then make something happen.
Mm-hmm. And you saw that coming out of, that's pretty much maybe the number one pick. You saw that coming out of Oklahoma. That was a great game. I think he was tired of the critics, and he definitely had a big game to help, kind of silence that. But there was something else I wanted to bring up. This is just a comment. But I saw someone say that when Kyler Murray runs, and I can't unsee it, but when Kyler Murray runs, he runs like a baby
I think that's because of his size.
But
also, it's a little bit true, too, because I saw that same thing. And when you look at it, it's like the first thing you think of,
I do think the Cardinals have a good chance of beating the Rams. I really do.
I like that game a lot. It's Cardinals +3.5 in that game. I think that they'll end up winning that game at home, so I think they got that one. Now, we get to transition to what I thought was the biggest news of the week. ESPN released their NBA player rankings, where they basically rank all the NBA players from, I think, 1 to 100 they do. They do it every season. All the major sports outlets will kind of release their own takes on the list. ESPN was theirs. I'll go through just the top 15 for listeners. It goes Giannis, Jokic, Luka, Embiid, Curry, LeBron, Tatum, John Morant, Booker, Harden, Kawhi, Kat, Karl-Anthony Towns, Lillard, David Lillard, Paul George. So those are ESPN's top 15, the top 15 players that they have in these. And just general reactions from you two. What did you guys think about this?
I think they are going off of recency bias, to be completely honest with you. If you look at Tatum, yeah, he had a pretty good season, but he's not number 7. He's not. He's maybe top 15.
Let's cool down a little bit. I think Tatum, you don't lead a team to the NBA Finals and not be a top 10 player.
I think he's top 10. I just have him. The only thing is I have him actually behind Durant.
Durant being over Jason Tatum.
The Celtics swept the Nets in the first round. You have to put Tatum above Durant. Because if you look at that series, Tatum outplayed Durant every aspect of the game.
That is true, but that team had so much going on.
There was so much going on, but Durant didn't even put up empty stats. Like, sometimes when the team is kind of he didn't even put up that. He was averaging, I think it was 15 points in the series or something like that. Like, it was pretty abysmal.
It was definitely disappointing.
But you could also make the case that Tatum was pretty abysmal in the finals.
The finals, but I'm talking about that. That is true. But granted, that was the fourth playoff series. Tatum did come out in the offseason saying he had a fracture in his wrist. He was dealing, I believe it was, he had a shoulder injury that was prolonging the whole day. I mean, if you watch the final, Tatum obviously wasn't looking 100%. Yeah. And in the first round where both players were feeling their best, Tatum obviously outplayed Durant. And I feel like it's just, you have to put him in that one spot, buddy.
I understand your take. I get that, but he asked me who I'm picking right now. Like, just for a game, not to build a franchise off of, because obviously the age difference. I'm still probably going to take Durant for that game, but I can completely see where you're coming from. Because Tatum's on the come up, especially He's gonna look so much better defensively.
Oh yeah, his defense looks a lot better.
I just wanna like say ESPN does this list, they do it by talent, but they also do it by availability and how much they think the player is gonna produce for the season. And Tatum consistently plays like 70 games a season. So I think that might be also part of it.
Okay. Especially in that past year.
He's had some knee problems. Yeah. You've seen multiple like MCL sprains.
But if they were taking availability into consideration, why is Embiid number four? He's rarely ever played a full. He's never played a full season.
No, he probably won't have him. This is probably especially after last season. You know that he did. In my opinion, Embiid should have been MVP over Jokic. So that's another point I want to bring up.
I'm there with you on that one.
I am there with
Jokic being number two. I understand that Jokic is amazing. He's done so many different things in the game, but so does Embiid. And then the difference is just defensive. We can just if you want to talk about the comparison. If you talk about defense, you could make a case. I'm not saying he should win it, but you could make a case that Embiid could have won Defensive Player of the Year. And I don't think you can say it.
No, I think Jokic's defense is definitely a little underrated. I think as it's progressed, he's found ways to impact without just like that insane athletic ability that the other players have. I do think Embiid should have been the MVP considering how much the voters love their narratives. I think if you look at the narrative that Sixers team went through last season,
oh my goodness.
The fact that they were dealing with Ben Simmons not practicing, and then halfway through the season they traded two starters to then go and then bring in Harden and then have that work. And obviously Harden is a great player, but any type of mid-season kid like that, it's hard to adjust for that team. I think Embiid just held that team together so well.
I want to say, because they traded for James Harden before the All-Star break.
They traded him.
Yeah, okay.
Because I can remember that when the All-Star draft happened, James Harden went last.
It was the same day as the All-Star draft.
James Harden went last in the draft because Kevin Durant, I remember Charles Barkley asked Kevin Durant, what's wrong with Harden? He hurt, and KD just stands there, like, grinning a little bit awkwardly.
He knows what was going on.
He does.
That's just another thing for me. I just haven't been able to pitch him in. I think that what I was going to say, before the trade deadline, I think they were, for a second, the number one, the number two seed.
They were.
And they literally, you talk about star power on that team.
Indeed.
It's literally Embiid and then half of Maxey, because I think Maxey's like, developing into a star.
He's not Maxey's second season. Yeah. For him to be a star.
Exactly.
Obviously, he played terrible
that year. He looks like, Tyrese Maxey looks like he's going to be. I think Tyrese Maxey. I think Tyrese Maxey could potentially make an All-Star team.
I don't think it's a hot take at all.
Yeah.
I really
love that backcourt of Harden and Maxey. I think you saw that chemistry was building between the two when they're talking on the court.
That's his favorite player.
I think the chemistry definitely did. I had two big problems with the list. ESPN. I thought Curry at five was too low. I thought he deserved to be two. I thought Curry was two. I had to watch him kill the Celtics in the NBA Finals. I had to sit there and I had to watch that. And every single time he shoots the ball, I sit there and I think, yep, that's going in. And that's it.
Was it game six? You were just like, oh my God.
Game five. It's insane. I think Curry just has to be.
Everyone was waiting for that Curry takeover moment, and he finally delivered on the biggest stage. And he was on stuff.
The narrative that Curry chokes in like the finals and all of this stuff, I think he just blew that out of the water.
Oh, yeah.
This whole push is good. And then my second biggest problem, Karl Anthony Towns at 13.
Yeah.
I take a lot of offense to that one.
I'm not gonna be a Karl Anthony Towns hater, but I've never seen a player hype himself up so much based on so much.
But you're being real. If you talk about actual like legitimate success in the league, other than just numbers and like stats you put up, it was what, like 2/3 all NBA teams?
Yeah.
And basically those all NBA teams were because the center position is so dry. Because all the good players are forwards now.
And when you think of the Timberwolves, like
Anthony Edwards.
Exactly. He's become an afterthought to me. I'm more scared of Anthony Edwards.
When they played the Grizzlies, Pat wasn't even the best player on his team. Anthony Edwards was obviously the best player in that playoff series. So if you do it off like recency bias, I'm thinking to myself, well, Pat got outplayed by Anthony Edwards, so why is he, like, I think it's like 13 spots above Ant, where Ant played better than him in the playoffs.
And also, One thing I'm tired of, just not like thinking debated on the ground, just he's not a tough guy. Like, he's I don't know, but like he's acting like he's like Kendrick Perkins or like at Beverly. He's just like,
you can be yourself. You don't have to act tough to the camera.
He's one of these guys, he's like, where I see him say things or do certain things, it feels like he's doing it for the camera.
Exactly. You're not that guy, Tom.
I remember there was like one speech he had after like a game winning in the Memphis series, and he was saying something. I'm just saying to myself, he definitely practiced that in the mirror.
Oh.
And was like, this is what I'm going to say when we win this game. And I feel like that's exactly what he would do. So I feel like part of that is like, he is like a little bit fake in that sense. I think that, I can't remember, I think it was game 5 of that series, Anthony Edwards was like the only player on the team not giving up. And like, everyone else was kind of like, you know, I think we kind of lost one. Ant was the one.
I'm
like,
pretty sure
Ant was obviously like the leader.
Yeah, back on.
He was like the leader of that team in the playoffs. He was the one picking everyone up. So just putting Cat at 13 really rubs me the wrong way when Paul George and Damian Lillard up in the
game. And we're going to see how this team does now without their heart and Pat Beverly. Because it's Cat's supposed to be the leader, but I'm pretty sure if this season goes away, I think we're going to see Anthony Edwards take that next season.
I mean, I think the addition of Rudy Gobert on that team is going to help him a lot, because it allows Cat to move outside much more, which I think part of the problem is when Cat was being forced to play in the 5, he was a little uncomfortable in that situation. No, and then Rudy Gobert, when we saw it, he made up for Jazz's abysmal win.
I don't think Rudy Gobert to do Timberwolves is a good thing at all. It's going to be kind of like the Al Horford, Joel Embiid Sixers. It looks good on paper, but I mean, the Jazz were just manhandled because Rudy Gobert could not play defense outside of the paint.
That is true, but part of that was because they had such bad wing defenders that it allowed them to pull them out. Because basically everyone could go blow by Mike Conley, Donovan Mitchell, and then
Bogdanovich.
Bogdanovich, yes, that's the one. Jordan Clark snatches it. Four of those guys cannot move very fast laterally, so they're just getting blown by, and Rudy Gobert was having to help out.
And that's what, that's even going to start by losing to
I hate to end this conversation so early, because I'm just getting into the NBA, but sadly, we are out of our time on this hour. This has been 90.7 The Cap Show, the Steel Infection. We hope you all have a great weekend. Bye.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.